Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
This story today, and you heard Pat and Ciara chatting about it earlier, the some drivers are avoiding penalty points because they can get a disqualification for one day. It's a loophole in the Road Traffic Act, and like, it does seem pretty bizarre. Evan O'Dwyer is a solicitor who specialises in road traffic law. Evan, like, I was listening, you know, to some of the discussion about this earlier today. It is legal.
It's legal because somebody didn't think about it when the legislation was being drafted. And the idea about introducing penalty points, which happened as far back as 1994, was on the basis of trying to make the road safer and to keep people out of court. But you don't ever think of these things when you're trying to motivate people to slow down and to be law-abiding.
But what's happened, though, is that some motorists have actually been able to avoid getting penalty points. This is maybe when they've hit, Evan, you know, 7 or 9 penalty points. They now get another conviction. They're potentially looking at hitting the or reaching the maximum 12. That could bring about disqualification for 6 months. And then you get your solicitor to ask the district court judge for this disqualification for one day. And it just brings you back down to 9 again.
So just explain. It's not happening everywhere. What's happened is the report relates to a pocket of cases in a certain part of the country, which has not been disclosed. It's certainly not in County Mayo, I can tell you that. Where a person pays the fine and they don't go to court, they get 3 points. So it's incrementally 3, 6, 9, and then 12, and the 12 is a disqualification. If you're a professional driver, it's 3, 6, and 7. Or if you're a novice driver, it's 7 as well. However, if somebody goes to court because they've missed something, because they deliberately want to fight it or whatever, the risk that they have is not getting 3 points applied to their license, but 5. So there's a greater jeopardy in going to court. And of course, if you succeed in convincing a judge that there's no case to be met, then you go from, it's either 5 or 0. That's the swing. So what the article explains is that when a court is asked to decide the guilt of somebody, the court has the ability, of course, to record a conviction, to impose a fine, and of course, as well, to impose a disqualification. And the idea is that if the disqualification is imposed, then what has been reported is that the points will not apply. Okay, so that means that the person effectively gets a reprieve. And that, of course, defeats the purpose of penalty points because I do it in my job. My colleagues do it, that you're asked to contest cases for clients and you're asked to test the evidence. And if a judge is satisfied that the evidence is not there, then the swing is 5-0. And everybody is watching the number of points that they have at any given point in time. So, of course, if it's the difference between a disqualification for 6 months or 12 months, people will throw their hat at trying to do what they can to make sure they stay on the road.
Yeah, but you're saying, I mean, you know, I know this story emerged today, but that it's not overly common either though, Evan, at the same time.
Well, truthfully speaking, I hadn't heard of it before I read it in the paper this morning. And that's how unique it is. I mean, myself and colleagues of mine operate within the rules that are there, and advice is given to clients that if you go to court with a penalty points offence, it's either 5, it's an all duck or no dinner situation, it's either 5 penalty points or it's none, and there's no halfway house. And that's the way that the law was intended to be used and intended to be applied. But clearly, because there are such draconian measures with these things, if your licence is taken from you, you know, particularly in rural Ireland, it has a huge knock-on effect, and people will do whatever they can within the law to try and avoid that.
Susan Gray, Evan, is with us. Susan is the founder of the road safety group Park as well. Do we take, like, when you listen to that today, Susan, can you say that we take road safety seriously?
Well, this is only the tip of the iceberg. The research we've been carrying out for years and years, where do you hear this about disqualified drivers? Those that have a full Irish licence and are disqualified in court, only 18, and they are actually disqualified in court, only 18% of them are surrendering their licence to the RSA as required by law. Learner drivers, disqualified in court. Almost 11,500 were disqualified since 2016. Guess how many of them surrendered their licence to the RSA? 6%. Now, it's an offence not to surrender your licence under law, with a penalty of up to €1,000 for.
And is that up to the up to you as the motorist once you're disqualified to do that, or?
Once the procedure the RSA have, and they have no intentions of changing it for some unknown reason, you're asked, you're disqualified in court tomorrow. You're given 2 weeks to appeal the disqualification. After that 2 weeks is up, the RSA supposedly write out to you, right? So the learner drivers, they must have written out to 11,350 learner drivers. We don't believe they do. To inform them that it is an offence, you must surrender your licence, stick it into an envelope and post it back to us, the RSA, to a PO box in Cork. Now, have you any idea why so many are not doing that? It's up to the discretion of the individual. Now, that's resulted in very few surrendering their licence. It's an offence. We've asked peak parliamentary question after parliamentary question, how many people have been brought back to court and issued with a fine of up to €1,000 for not surrendering their licence? No figures have come back, so we're taking it that nobody's been successfully prosecuted. Now, the Road Safety Authority, in reply to us about taking these people back to court and making sure that they're fined for not surrendering their licence. Moya Murdoch, at the time, the head of the RSA, said that to secure a successful prosecution in court, the RSA may, and it's the may that's stuck with us, may have to attend court along with the Gardaí and give evidence that we, the RSA, have written out to each of these drivers, informing them of the law and then informing the court that this person did receive the letter, didn't
surrender. Why is that not being enforced then, Evan?
Well, I think that, first and foremost, I think it's resources. I mean, I don't disagree with anything that Susan has said. And I don't disagree with the figures that she said, although I haven't seen them before. But it would stand to reason, because the function of the court concludes with the end of the prosecution or the end of the case. And at that point, the imposition of penalty points and the surrender of licences and the holding of licences during a disqualification is under the umbrella of the Road Safety Authority and the National Driver Licence Service. So the courts have no function after that, or do the Gardaí. But the administrative side, which Susan is speaking about, is with the RSA. Now, whether the RSA wish or want or have capacity to prosecute or follow those up really depends upon them.
Just on the story about this loophole that we're talking about, Mary is with us on the line, actually. Just Mary, because you've been listening to this today and you got in touch. Did you say that you have points in your licence?
I have. I've 6.
6 penalty points at the moment on your licence,
yeah. And you know, it's not like before where you had 2 and then they sort of mounted up. But it's 6, and if you're 4 now, you're gone. You know what I mean? 4 sections.
Yeah. So when you heard about this story today, what was your reaction?
Right. First of all, to be honest with you, I didn't realise that loop was there. But it totally makes sense. Like, if my car is gone, my daughter doesn't get anywhere. Quite simply. And her diary is busier than mine.
What do you mean? Tell me about your daughter. What do you mean she wouldn't get anywhere?
Well, put it like this. We live in the country. Okay, there's a kilometre to go to the nearest bus. I drive my daughter everywhere, basically. She works. She goes to her art club. She goes to her centre. So every day I'm on the road with my daughter. So I really need the car. We're just too far away from a bus service.
What age is your daughter, Mary?
She's 31. She's 31.
Okay.
And she will always need the car. She'll always need transport.
Do you care for your daughter, Mary? Are you her?
Yeah. My daughter has Down syndrome.
Okay. So you are somebody who would, you need a car all the time.
Essential altogether, yeah. And I would classify myself as a good driver, to be honest with you. I really would. I mean, I'm nearly 70. I've had a lot of experience over the years, really, you know. And our road, actually, our main road used to be 100 kilometres. But when the new M3 came, for some reason, they put the speed down to 80. And sometimes there are no other cars on that road. And even if there are, I would drive very carefully at a good speed.
What
but
do you mean?
It has been literally over 85, or about 85, and I've been caught. And on one occasion, actually, when you're coming down towards Johnstown, you go from 80 down to 60, and you've literally about 2 seconds before the van is there. So I've been caught there as well.
Are you worried then, when you rely so much, Mary, on your car and for your daughter as well, that...
I don't go out on the road every day thinking about it, but I'm definitely conscious that I have 6 points at the moment. Yeah. And if I got two more, I'd be gone. Yeah. It is a concern.
Susan Gray, the Taoiseach is going to close this loophole, though. Is that right? It's going to be closed off.
Well, for 15 years, we've been constantly told by the government that they're anxious to consolidate the Road Traffic Act because there's so many acts amending and overlapping other acts, and it makes it so easy for solicitors sometimes to get their clients off when they shouldn't get off. So it's so complicated. We have a Road Traffic Act nearly every year. So for years and years, they told us, yes, we're going to consolidate it. We will notice then if there's errors or mistakes or whatever, loopholes in the acts while they're consolidating, and put it into one simple act for everybody to easily
and that'll close it.
Understand.
Okay. Carl is on the line as well. Carl, like you've been listening to this conversation, you could ask, you know, is road safety, how seriously do we take road safety here?
Hi Andrea, how are you?
How seriously do we take it, Carl?
Well, listening to some people, not very serious. You can hear me okay, can you?
I can, yeah.
Yeah. One of the big gripes I had when I was listening to Pat this morning was when he said some people have exceptional circumstances. You have no exceptional circumstances if you're speeding four times. My nephew was killed a couple of years ago this week. He was 19, and now listen, the chap that was driving the car wasn't, according to the guards, at fault, so it's nothing about course accidents can happen. But I mean, if you speed four times and you're caught, then you have no exceptional circumstances at all. And I know that lady said that she cares for our daughter.
Yeah.
Well, surely people like that should have a bit more sense that it's not a privilege to have it's a privilege to have a car. Necessity is food, water, but it's not to drive somebody around. And if she's sped twice and the excuse is, well, there's nobody on the road, that's ridiculous. If she killed somebody, would she, or anybody, can they sit there and say, well, you know, there was nobody on the road? I mean, it's not, I personally think it's not looked at in a big way at all.
Bigger priority.
And I would say to anybody, I only noticed this after my nephew was killed. When you're driving on the road tonight, anybody listening, look at how many cars have no headlight. One headlight not working, especially the inside headlight. And they're driving around the roads, can't see, obviously, with half the light only working and could easily kill somebody. And so I said it to your researcher, he was only at a checkpoint a few weeks ago, and there was a guy on the other side, and he'd one headlight completely gone, and the guards were checking tax and insurance. And I'm sitting there now, listen, I know this is only more in my head since what happened to our family.
Sure, I know, but you've experienced.
And I'm looking at the guard, and I'm saying, and again, I don't know the ins and outs of the law, but I'm sitting there looking, saying, the guy has only one headlight. How in God's name is that safe on the road? And so I think just with everything within our justice system, I just think it's very wishy-washy.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, Carol, and thank you for getting in touch and sharing your story with us today, because I know after what you and your family have experienced with your nephew, it can't be easy at all. Some of the texts on this today, plenty of people actually getting in touch about it. The standard of driving in this country is atrocious, and when you can get away with it, why wouldn't you chance your arm, says this listener. Well, just listen back to Carol's interview there. Another listener, everybody has a choice about how they drive. Don't break the rules and you won't get points. Simple as that. There's another texter today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.